Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This show is entitled The Moral Fiction of Political Atheist Ecumenism. In other words, the deification of the sins of the flesh, or the sins of the sarks. And you and I are observing the collapse of the Western cosmos, the cosmic system. And you and I have the scriptures, and it is from the scriptures that we understand that this event that we are observing is going to take place. God, in other words, God has already told us that this would happen. In 1 John we read, that is, the language tells us in the Greek that this age, this aeon, is being caused to pass away by God. And it is amazing to see the unfolding of the plan of God in this time. And so you and I would do well to study the Word of God so that we can have a greater understanding of what is taking place and what is about to be unfolded or revealed to the culture at large. You and I understand that the individuals who comprise the cosmos are individuals who do not know God. So therefore, we should not be surprised at their viewpoint or by their viewpoints, what they believe to be true. The moral foundation of Western culture that was provided by the scriptures is gone, and now we see what has happened to the Western culture because it has replaced the absolutes of the Word of God with atheistic or political atheistic humanism and moral relativism. They are implementing, as it were, relativism and relativistic values by power. And it is interesting that these individuals want to impose the ethic of moral relativism upon Western culture in an absolute manner. Now, I said some time back that before the Supreme Court, in fact, did what it did with regard to, use the civil rights laws in order to bring into power the new understanding of marriage, that immediately following thereafter they would be going after the children. And now it has come to pass it has come to pass. If you would read very carefully the Old Testament, if you would read about the religions that were practiced in Canaan before God's people went into the Promised Land, and thereafter, you will find that the very religions that were being practiced in ancient Canaan are being practiced in the Western world today. The same religions. And so, in this show, I don't have time to go through those religions, but the, for instance, there was the worship of Baal. There was the worship of Astarte. There was Molech, and there was child sacrifice. There was ritualistic prostitution. And these acts were related to worship. Understand cosmic worship. And please read Ephesians chapter 6 to understand the powers that are behind so-called Western culture, so that you will not be deceived, and so that you will not be taken aback by what you are seeing before your very eyes and what you are hearing. Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Scientists know that the world, the universe, the material world, the world of electromagnetism, the so-called physical world, is merely a standing wave function imposed upon void. You understand the relationship between, that is, the relationship of mass energy. And they do not have a mechanistic view of the universe. They know that the universe is something vastly beyond their powers to render in elegant mathematical poetry. The universe is the mind of God. And the universe speaks about the presence of God. The universe speaks about the glory of God. But there are those who would seek to expunge God from his own universe, from his own creation, and impose upon what is naturally there a fiction, which ultimately is the creation of demons who want to usurp the glory of God. God has said his glory he will not show another. So we have men who live upon the crust of the earth, and believe me, they have underground chambers that they have prepared for their own protection with the understanding that they're going to impose upon the masses their will, and they will hide themselves. The Book of Revelation speaks about these hidden chambers. But then the Book of Revelation also tells us about, in Revelation 19, about the one from whose face heaven and earth fled away. And in that day, we're told that men will say to themselves, to the rocks, hide us from the face of him who sits upon the throne, because the finite will meet the infinite God. And because they have so given themselves over to the flesh and their luxuries and their lusts, that their eyes will terrify them, because the God whose existence they had mocked, the God whose existence they said was never there or not there, or they believed through their specious arguments that they could somehow dismiss God. God is not subject to dismissal by human arguments. You can dismiss an intellectual concept of God through the specious arguments of man, but one cannot dismiss the reality of the infinite God through human arguments. And so God is infinitely beyond the awareness of man. And yet the same God who is infinitely beyond the awareness of man robed himself in human flesh. He became the Theanthropos. Please read John chapter 1. The Theanthropos, who is also the Logos, is both the reason and the speech of God, the mentality, the mind, and the speech of God. So, this one, the infinite God, sent his Son in the flesh in order to give his life as a ransom for many. He died on a Roman gibbet in 33 AD. And it is interesting because in the Greek text we read that those who orchestrated his illegal death rejoiced and danced before his cross like children, because in their minds they had finally succeeded in ridding themselves of the person of Jesus. And please be aware that Jesus did not expire. He did not expire, that is, his breath did not leave his body without his permission. We read in the text that Jesus shouted, and then he voluntarily surrendered his spirit. He voluntarily surrendered his spirit. He allowed himself to be buried. He actually died. A Roman spear was driven into the pericardium, that is the sac around the heart. The other two who were with him had their legs broken with a Roman phrygian. That is a large mallet that was used to break the bones in order to hasten death. It would send the body into further shock, and then the individuals would die. Crucifixion itself was death by suffocation, death by torture. And Jesus, we read in Isaiah 53, that God the Father downloaded upon him the sins of all humanity. And we read the word of God, which states, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee. Please read Psalm 22. Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then the answer comes back, for I'm a worm and no man, the carcass worm, the worm that was used in ancient times to create dye for fabric. So God's son gave his life as a ransom for many. He died. He was buried in another individual's tomb. He borrowed another individual's tomb. He borrowed another individual's ass to ride into Jerusalem. He borrowed another individual's upper room in order to have the Last Supper with his disciples. We read in the book of Acts that he got up on the third day because death could not hold him down any longer, because he is Lord of all. He is Lord of death. We read in Revelation 1 that he, Jesus, has the keys, holds the keys of both death and Hades. John said in the book of Revelation chapter 1 that when he turned and saw him, he fell at his feet as dead, because now he beheld the glorified Lord. The book of Revelation has very interesting terms. John writes about the wrath of the Lamb. Interesting language. John said that the Son of God, the glorified Son of God, looked as one who had been slain. His wounds, the wounds of Jesus, are eternal. They are eternal within his resurrection body. I'm speaking to believing ones today to wake up, to understand that the revelation speaks about the triumph of God in history. You and I look forward to a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and there will be no more the presence of sin, the presence of folly. We will have a new universe wherein dwelleth righteousness. Very interesting. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, Paul writes, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, or out from heaven, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, this word wrath in verse 18 in Greek is the word orge. And orge means anger as a state of mind. The word here for heaven is uranu. So God, so this word wrath or orge, O-R-G-E, anger as a state of mind or as an abiding state of mind, bespeaks God's attitude toward those who practice evil and who seek to wear down and make weary the saints of God. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, we have these words in verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. The word here again is orge. Now, in verse 7, it reads, "In the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them, but now you put off all of these, anger." That is, again, the word here is orge. The word next to it, we have anger, wrath, and malice. The second word here, the first word is orge, or anger, as an abiding state of mind. We have wrath. This particular word in Greek is thumon, which means the outbursts of anger for the purpose of revenge. God's word says that you and I are not to be these type of people. We're not to have this type of, we're not to have outbursts of anger for the purpose of revenge. And God has an abiding attitude toward the wicked. Now, when we go on, when we go back to the book of Romans, chapter 2, we read these words. Verse 5, Romans 2, 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So here Paul talks about those who refuse God's salvation, who are treasuring up. The word is the word from which we get our word thesaurus. They are, and he talks about by hardness and impenitent. The word here means dry, hard, and stubborn. Treasures up unto thyself wrath. It is, the word here again is orge. In the day of orge. And notice the language, the day of orge and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now, in verse 8, he goes, Paul writes, but unto them that are contentious, that is self-willed. This is the day of man. Man is self-willed, that is those who are outside of the will of God. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation. The word here is thumon and orge. Now notice, we have thumon, which is what? Outburst of anger for the purpose of revenge. And we have wrath or orge. So, verse 9, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. Back to Romans 1. Now notice, Paul goes on. He says, verse 18, once again, for the wrath of God, that is God's abiding state of anger, orge, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Why? Because they cease, hold the truth and unrighteousness. Myths about life. Myths designed to create fear. Myths designed to keep people in anxiety, to keep people in depression, to keep people in hostility and anger, fear to create resentment and bitterness, fear to create incredible physiological reactions within people's bodies, to keep them with high blood pressure, to keep them and to grow, as it were, cardiac disease. To keep people under insurmountable stressors. To take away their peace. Take away their jobs. So as to take away their homes. So that they cannot provide for their families. These are planned evils that God sees and God knows. These things are done and orchestrated by people who do not believe that they will one day have to give an account of their actions to the living God. These people, as the political atheists, believe that there is no God in their practice, in their attitudes. And so not only do they not believe in God, but they do not want to have within their periphery those who do believe in God. Because who you are is an offense to them. You are offensive to those who reject the living God. Jesus said that they hated him without a cause. He said, if they hated me, they will hate you. He has already told us these things. Jesus summarizes for us, that is, the Word of God summarizes for us in Romans 1, exactly where we are and what we are facing. He says, Paul writes, because in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the cosmos or the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The word excuse here means apology. There's no apologetic. Yep. They can invent fanciful terms. They can use obscure legalese so that the average individual cannot understand their mischief and their cleverness. But it's very interesting that these things, and in the Hebrew scriptures, and also in the New Testament, we are told, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever man soweth, whatsoever woman soweth, that shall she also reap. There are certain words in Hebrew with certain suffixes that say these things, that teach these things. Whatsoever an individual does, that shall he or she reap, either good or bad. This is a sin of the flesh that we are seeing on display today. With his arrogant moral turpitude, please return to studying the Word of God and stop looking at what these individuals do. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We're to be a light in this dark cosmos. Now it's time to stop pretending that the cosmos is not dark. It is very dark. Please read 1 and 2 Peter. Please read the 13 letters of Paul. Please read all the New Testament. Please read the minor prophets. Please read the writing prophets of Israel. Please read the book of Genesis. Read the Word of God. Read Psalm 119. Return to the Word of God. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our families. Pray for our country. Pray for our world. Pray for one another and love one another. Good evening. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.